This is an interview with Connie McCready at her home in Northeast Portland, Oregon, the interviewer for the Oregon Historical Society's Clark Hansen. This is tape 11, side 2. Well, maybe you could explain then what happened. I mean, how you transitioned from the legislature to the city council. That part of it, before we go into a little background on the city council.
Okay. You'd never believe it. I was really puzzled about whether or not I should run for re-election, because when I was down in the legislature, those two terms, my husband was babysat by my two remaining daughters who were in high school. My eldest was down in college, and I worried about how he would manage by himself. And so I told him that I thought I was going to stay home not go back in my career. And he really, he flipped. He said, "You're not going to let your career be influenced by that kind of a consideration. I'm not going to have people, are you saying later that you didn't go ahead with your legislative career because of me?" And he was just really, I was surprised. He really flipped. I don't think he realizes how incompetent he is here by himself and how I fret about him. So anyway, after he blew up like that, he wouldn't hear of it. Well, he wasn't going to order me around, but then I could see that things were going to be very uncomfortable if I didn't run for re-election. So I don't know how much time went by.
Why were you hesitant about not going down to the legislature again? Why did you not want
was to it look just, after him?
Just to look after him.
Yeah.
It wasn't because of anything that was going on in the legislature that you were tired of?
Well, if I really had wanted to badly, I would not have, probably not have let that interfere. But the fact that the girls were going off to college, that's right, because it's every other year. That I was wondering how that could have worked, because the girls had a year in between them, the last two girls.
Right.
But since legislature is every other year, that gave time. There'd be a year that for Nancy to catch up with Martha and the both be gone. And I knew that he got terribly lonesome here. And I knew he was working awfully hard at the paper. And it just, that was the major concern. But it wasn't really all that much fun down there being, as I think I've told you, being a moderate Republican.
Is not in favor of the sales tax?
Exactly. I was not a team player. I'm sure they considered that, because I know lots of things happened that I was not included in. The power structure made it fairly apparent. They'd pull on the leash, and those who responded and got their plums, and those who were independent didn't. You know,
what was the registration in the district that you represented? Was it primarily Democratic?
No, I don't think so. Well, now the first time, it was a big district, because at that time there were four of us from the district. It was East Central Subdistrict and position number.
Right.
Like I was number 2, I think it was, or something like that. And so it was a huge district. And so I don't know if, I can't remember, but I'll tell you, Republicans at that time usually had the edge. If they weren't bank robbers or something, you know.
But weren't things changing? Weren't things gradually shifting to the Democrats?
As a matter of fact, the registration may have changed to be heavier Democratic in that sub-district than Republican. But they were either voting for Republicans or they weren't voting, or something like that. Because by and large, Republicans, I would guess, had the edge at that first go around. And the second time, Well, second time, no problem. Nobody filed against me, Republican or Democrat. So that registration didn't really come into it then.
Yeah.
I couldn't say much about it now. And what was it? Oh, back to the how come I decided to right. run, not to run. And while I was going through this concern, Stanley Earle died, the city commissioner. And all of a sudden I thought, hey, this could solve my problem. I could live in Portland and look after Al if I won, and continue in public life. And there are good things about it, being lonesome as I was and everything else. It's an awfully good feeling when you can accomplish something and
sure.
do something for people.
Yeah.
And know that there's at least one straight arrow. Because I think, I don't know if I told you, but my dad used to say, if you're not willing to do something about it, you're not entitled to bitch about it. He didn't say bitch, he never swore, but
yeah.
he couldn't to complain. So anyway, I did sort of, I had mixed emotions, but I did worry about how he would manage. And
would you have to give up your legislative seat to run for the city council seat?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just didn't file for the re-election by running for the council seat.
I see.
I filed for the council seat instead.
That was in 1970, so you
yeah.
would have had to have filed for the election later on in 1970, the primary.
Oh, yes. But this was just a couple of weeks before the primary deadline, as
yeah.
I recall, that he died.
Right.
I was just getting down to the wire. I was going to have to file or...
Right.
Or fight. And so I told Al that I thought I was, and he looked at me kind of, you know, what's it? I didn't tell him it was so I could look after him or
well,
anything.
Actually, I mean, there's that little story in the Oregonian about how he heard about it. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I don't think so.
How it started is told by Al in the Oregonian, quote, "My bride," parenthesis, they were married in 1944, woke me up one morning and said, I'm going to run for city commissioner. Go back to sleep, I encourage you. You've had a bad dream.
That's pure fabrication.
That's a good story anyways.
That's right. incidentally, we were married New Year's Eve 45.
Oh. New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve 45, right before 46, or
oh, wait a minute.
New Year's Eve December 31st, 1944.
No, it was 45.
Huh.
New Year's Eve 45. So, well, let's see. Molly was born. Oh, wait a minute. She was born in 47. So that would give her time to be legit, wouldn't it? Because I said I had not looked forward to celebrating my first anniversary with morning sickness. So.
Well, this
yeah.
If you were born in 44, you would be
married.
You'd be your. I mean, if you were married in 1944, then this year would be your 50th wedding anniversary.
And it's not.
It's your 49th.
Is it really?
Well, 44.
45.
Or 45, but if it were 44,
yeah,
this would be
yeah, which is practically 46, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean, 45 is a day for 46, so, yeah.
Okay, well, that I'll mark that down there. Maybe he didn't have the right date when he told the story, or...
That's just like him.
Yeah.
He doesn't pay attention to date. He said, when we discovered on our honeymoon, we went down to, among the many stops we made, was one of his favorite cousin and her husband, who was a judge. And he said, you were pretty smart getting married on New Year's Eve. And we took a month and just drove all around. And this was down in California. And he says, how come? And he says, well, you realize that Connie can take you off her taxes for the whole year if you're married for any part of 1945, because he was a serviceman. And I could, and of course, they didn't make any money anyway. So we were married at 8 o'clock at night, New Year's Eve, and he says, you'll never make so much money for only 4 hours work.
Well, did you make the suggestion then to somebody that you should be appointed? Because you first got on through appointment, didn't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. And I can't remember. Who were the ones who did it? Ivan C. and Terry Shrunk and Lloyd Anderson. Who's the other one? Oh,
Mark Grayson.
Buck Grayson. Mm-hmm. And I think I made appointments with each of them. I know I did with Terry. And at that time, Ivan C. lived around the corner from me, I believe. Yeah, I think he'd moved over there. And it's terrible, I don't remember. I did make an appointment with a couple of business leaders who were very involved in community affairs, that who had supported candidates that I knew or knew were civic leaders, and who had been involved with government and probably campaign or chairman or something. I must have, and I talked to, made about two or three appointments with some of those guys.
You knew them personally then?
Yes, or yeah. Not. Well, one I knew pretty closely. What was his name? Gosh, isn't that true?
Of the people that were on the council?
No, the business community.
Oh, the business people. And the business
people. But I can't remember his name now. A bunch of them I can't remember. One of them was Ira Keller, because I knew mm-hmm. that he was a mover and shaker in town. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I knew him. I'd probably met him a time mm-hmm. or two. I know I was scared to death when I went up to see him, because they kept calling him little Caesar or Napoleon. He was a little guy, but big in his estimation, and a lot of other people's. He did a lot of good things for the city and the state.
Were you competing with other people?
Not at the time I did this, mm-hmm. but right after that, after I think Shirley Field had been, was being considered as, she had, she had run against the little guy. He wasn't on when I was. So it was before that she had run against this little fellow who had public works. Nice little guy.
Who was appointed in his place then? Was that Lloyd Anderson?
No. Oh, yeah, I'll bet Lloyd Anderson. That's right.
So he replaced William Bowes.
Bill Bowes, yeah. And she had run against Bill Bowes. Mm-hmm. And so she had said that she was going to be a candidate for, she'd announced that she was a candidate for the slot, and that she would run for it if not appointed or something. But then when I was appointed, she announced that she wouldn't run against her, quote, good friend. Well, it wasn't all that good friend. she had asked me to be her alternate invited me as her alternate to the convention.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh. But I never saw her down there. She's this odd gal, strange gal. Mm-hmm. She was bright, but she was strange. But anyway, we weren't close friends, and I think then that my getting the appointment and seeking it didn't make
help
us any closer.
Yeah.
And now I did not publicly seek it.
Uh-huh.
I just was talking to folks about
right.
it, and like, would there be a possibility of, I would have to run.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have to file instantly.
Right.
For election to uh-huh. it, because it was just a week or two before the filing deadline, and then the primary would be, I don't know how soon after that. I forgot.
And nobody else had announced at that point, or had they, for that seat?
I don't think so.
Had anybody said that they were going to run against Stanley Earle?
I don't think so. If so, it wasn't anyone of mm-hmm. any moment, unless I wonder if Doug Baker had yet. He's the one who ended up running against me. Thank God the city should be very grateful that he didn't win.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, but anyway, I don't think anyone else, if they had, it wasn't anyone particularly well known.
So
because nobody, I mean, this was a real shock when Stanley dropped dead. I mean, it was nobody, he hadn't been ill or anything like that. I think he had a heart attack and was just gone.
Jay.
And I knew him a little bit, but not well. I didn't, I knew Terry, he was a sweetheart, but, well, you didn't want me to go off into any
No. I was going to ask you because I had found an article that said that Mayor Schrunk had selected you from a field of more than 30 candidates and that the selection was made during a closed council session on a Monday.
Oh, I had no idea how many because I was not privy to that information.
Do you know how the vote turned out?
No. No, I have no idea. I know that when I was interviewed, he asked me, and so did Anderson. And Buck, I don't remember. I think I just went in and visited with Buck briefly, and he was very nice, and he was always very courtly. But I don't think he asked me, but I know Terry did, and I know Lloyd Anderson did, is that that they would not go for anyone who was not willing to run immediately for re-election, because it would be, well, and that's a natural one. Of course, no one should seek it for, you know, for just the remainder of that year.
Right.
And, wait a minute, I think Stanley had another year or two. But what happens is if a vacancy is filled, you have to run at the next election.
That's right, because then, and then to fill out the remainder of his term, the
election was... And that's all that I, yeah, and it was like 2 years, is all I had instead of the four.
Right.
That's right. Isn't it funny? You'd think you'd never forget this sort of thing. It's so big in one's life at one time, and it's just all gone.
Well, you were the only the second woman in Portland's history to be on the council.
Right.
After Dorothy McCullough Lee.
Yeah.
Did you know her at all?
Yes. She was a neat lady. She was grossly maligned, I thought, during they called her Do Good Dottie and all that.
No Sin Lee.
What?
No Sin Lee.
Oh, No Sin Lee. That's right. I'd forgotten that one. And that wasn't what... I think the press did an awful lot of that. But that wasn't the case. She wasn't... She said all along... that if you want gambling in Portland, that's just fine, but vote it in. She was going to uphold the law.
Well, she was very concerned about the mob moving in, wasn't she?
Oh, you bet.
Was there really a threat about that?
Oh, there's always a threat. Anytime there's any gambling, anything going on, that's why I did not like the idea of a lottery. Once you start getting a lot of money, you start watching. It is a real heavy possibility. Just check the stuff back east. And if there's money to be made, there's going to be people interested in it.
Yeah.
And the same with the garbage and the boy. That's why I was so concerned when I had Public Works, so concerned that we not get mafia or any kind of mob-connected type recycling.
Really? I'd never heard anything about that.
Oh, boy. You know, you don't hear much about it because you can't... it's not all documented. It's not... it's stuff that people don't like to make too much noise about, too. People get hurt sometimes. And also, it hasn't been that bad here, but, boy, California's had its share.
Has it?
And... I think I told you about the company that had applied and the men that I talked to from the company of, what were they going to do with some kind of recycling plant? And he got a call back from his office when Agnew was vice president.
Did
you remember that?
Yeah.
And they said for him to call the office of the vice president. That's all the message. They didn't say Vice President Agnew, right? And he did call. And the fellow told him where he was to take the money.
Right.
For getting the contract. Congratulations. Yeah. Oh, it's.
Well, she was put in office first to replace another commissioner that died in office, Ralph Clyde, and then she went on to beat Mayor Earl Riley in 1948 and served then as mayor until 52. It was Mayor Riley that was actually connected to some of the corruption, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think so. I think she came in with the idea of, you know, a clean city.
Right.
I wasn't paying that much attention to, well, I shouldn't say that, but let's see, when did she come in?
In 1948.
I had brand new babies. I, you see, 47 was one, and then the next one was,
It's interesting, though, because she had advocated a strong city manager type of government for Portland, and I don't think that there were very many cities at that time that were doing that.
Had
that
the
forum.
City manager. I think you're right. That's,
and
I'm sure you're right.
But then she went on to be defeated by Fred Peterson in 1952, who took then his victory as a mandate against municipal reform. But it was interesting that Portland was on the cusp of a
city manager.
Yeah.
Right. And Fred was a nice guy. I knew him, and not terribly well, but I saw him quite frequently. But he was not a strong, he was sort of the old school of let somebody else do the work. And
right.
And he would like it the way. He wouldn't want to change. I don't think he had any ideas of his own. Just things were a lot different in those days. And I don't think he ran to smarts.
Was it sort of the good old boy network that ran
absolutely.
Things?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he should not have taken that as any kind of a mandate. First of all, a lot of people didn't know what a strong city manager form of government was.
And right.
then most of them don't know what form of government we have now, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is they weren't voting against that. They were voting against her, that all this talk of do good, Dottie, and stuff. And it's she.
Well, I was reading an article about by Richard Neuberger about Portland at the time, and this was one of his articles in the Saturday Evening Post, which he wrote for.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Portland, Oregon has a split personality. It can't quite make up its mind whether it wants to be a swashbuckling industrial giant with a concrete booted foot thrust into the greatest water power stream in America, or a landed squire pruning rose bushes and meditatively watching salmon ascend to their mountain spawning grounds. And he called the situation in Portland a municipal schizophrenia.
And that guy's a wonderful writer.
He is a good writer.
That's a great choice of words.
Do you think there was
I don't think he was all that moral about his sources, and he stole stuff and everything, but he sure could write. And I think there's a lot of truth to
that. Do you think there is? Do you think that Portland was suffering from this municipal schizophrenia, that it couldn't decide what it wanted for its future or what it wanted to be as a city?
Oh, I don't think anyone paid all that much attention. They just took things one at a time as they came. At least I wasn't aware of any huge sweep or move. City Club worked on stuff. City Club, at least when my dad was so active in it, they were doing the trying to clean up the town stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was an awful lot of the illegal gambling and the houses of prostitution, the Seattle rooms. All of us kids in high school had heard about the Seattle rooms and would giggle about it. And the prostitution house and lots of other ones, I'm sure. And the buildings that I remember one thing, that these houses were in a lot of the old buildings down in Old Town. And the buildings were owned by fine old Portland families, you know, right. Very well-known Portland families. And so finally, I forget who suggested and how it came out, but they were going to put that the ownership of all buildings had to be posted on the corner on a large plaque. And I mean, that was a proposal anyway, and as I recall, there was all kinds of furor. Oh my God, no. I don't want my name on the Seattle rooms.
Well, you mentioned Seattle, and I know it's not in connection to the city, but how do you account for the difference in the way that Portland evolved compared to Seattle, or even for that matter, Oregon compared to Washington? I mean, there are similarities, but there are a lot of differences too.
Yeah, well, first of all, I am not an historian. I mean, yeah. I love history and I read a lot of it and I'd have my own little ideas, but just the fact that I have been very active in Portland's government doesn't mean that I am very knowledgeable about the how much you should take with a grain of salt about what I think about their startings out. But Seattle was a swashbuckler before Portland was it not?
Portland, I think, is a little bit older than
Seattle.
It's
older, but it didn't grow as fast, mm-hmm. and it didn't...
Right. I think they both benefited from World War II, but maybe, I don't know.
Oh, I'm talking about way back, and that, when uh-huh. they were starting up, like the traders and stuff and all that, but Seattle...
The gold miners that went through Seattle on their way to Alaska.
And Portland wasn't any, didn't have any of that. If they came through here by sheer accident, and the gold they found down by the Rogue River and stuff was pennies compared.
Right.
But, and we were so far inland that it's mm-hmm. a long mm-hmm. haul by sea up here to Portland, mm-hmm. and Seattle's just right there. And most of the transportation for so long was by water that even when the trains came, didn't they go to Seattle first? I'm not positive about that.
I'm not either.
I'm not sure, but...
I was reading this one book. It was called A Short History of Portland. And there's a quote in it, the old conservative slow growth business and political leadership of the city was dragged kicking and screaming into the rapid industrialization of the 20th century by the social, political, and economic demands thrust upon it during the war. World War II really did have a big effect on Portland.
It really did. All those shipyards that mm-hmm. Kaiser had, the one at Vancouver ship and Oregon ship and Swan Island and... Mm-hmm. We were just the population exploded with that. A friend of mine, and I don't know if I told you this, was hired by Kaiser and was sent back east to recruit people for the shipyards, and they were armed. And because they had to ride back on the train loads, and they brought train loads of workers from, and they were to hire any and everybody. And I remember this guy saying he was sick when he would walk through the trains and see the scum that he had on that train. And he was a native, he was born here, and he was from a really fine old Portland family. He married a sorority sister of mine. And I knew him in college, and he said when he thought of what he was doing to his Portland, bringing these people off mm-hmm. the streets, no jobs, because employees were at a premium, and so they brought mm-hmm. them in. He said the stuff that went on the trains and the fights and the knifings and all kinds of stuff, and they had to keep their sidearms on them at all times. It was that bad. And I was, when he told me this, I was just horrified. And we're suffering a lot of the results of the, those are people who would never have found their way clear across the continent. You know, a few might have on the underbellies of the trains, but not anything like this.
Natural selection would have taken its toll.
Yeah, and I don't know where all they got them, but they brought in. And the ethnic makeup changed fantastically too. Mm-hmm. It was...
Yeah, I know that there were a lot of changes that occurred during that time.
So that has a lot to do with it. They had shipyards in Seattle, didn't they? I don't know. We were so busy here that I didn't pay much attention to what they were doing.
Yeah.
But you started out to ask about the difference.
Well, I was. I was sure, you know, because it did seem like...